Om Shanti, everyone, and a peaceful good evening. So some of you went for the trip to Diwali today. Hope you're feeling energized and vibrant. We've been treated to so many wonders while we've been here in Madhuban. It's been very special as a family and on an individual level. And tonight we've got another treat, a very popular speaker, Dr. Sachin. And he took knowledge here in Mount Abu in 2003, and he's been serving in Global Hospital since 2010. And has the wonderful gift and talent to be able to merge the scientific truths with the spiritual truths, and he reaches sort of audiences far and wide with that. So tonight he's talking about the topic of the boat is full, and in essence that our boat is full as we're becoming close to the end of time. We're full of all the divine virtues and powers and ready to help. So we'll hear a song, and give some drishti to you all, and then we'll hear from lovely Dr. Chachin. Thank you.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone. But they're back again, just like a long lost friend. All the songs I love so well. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe-woe still shines. Yesterday once more. Looking back on how it was in years gone by, and the good times that I had, makes today seem rather sad. So much has songs of love that I would sing to them, and I'd memorize each word. Those old melodies still sound so good to me as they melt the years away. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe-woe still shines.
Om Shanti. The memory is so fresh. It's as if something that happened yesterday. The soul was in search. The thirst was intense. The quest was extensive. And then suddenly, one day, the beloved is in front. And the soul is overjoyed. Those were such happy times. The spiritual childhood, when we took birth and everything was so new, everything was so beautiful, as if a rebirth. Baba often says, remind yourself of your spiritual childhood. Go back again down the memory lane. That search and that first encounter with God, meeting Him for the first time, that first trip to the Madhuban, that first meeting with God, that first stay in God's own home. It's so beautiful. The first test of meditation, the first test of the divine flute, the first encounter with the divine family. During the times of Amritvela meditation, it is a good practice to see a screen in front of the eyes and watch your own biopic, watch the movie of your life, everything that happened, where you took birth, who were your parents, your siblings, that family, that house, that village, that town, that city, how you grew up, that school, that college, those friends, the different ups and downs of life. Just watch everything as a detached observer at Amritvela. And so many new things you will know about yourself. The greatest meditation is just to sit and observe. In Zen philosophy, they call it Zazen, where nobody teaches you anything, nobody tells you anything, just sit in silence. 5 hours, 6 hours. Sit, close the eyes, and watch the train of your thoughts. So it's a good practice to watch everything. And it is so pleasing to be here with you all. And it's pleasing for each one of you to be here amidst this divine family, to interact with all, to be in sound yet beyond sound. The greatest tapasya is to become calm, is to become silent. Even whilst interacting with everyone, that silence remains undisturbed. As if a circle, you stay seated on that point. Only sometimes you come on the periphery. On the periphery are your words, your actions, your behavior, and so many other things, seva. But the moment you have some time, you withdraw and come back to the core. That's where you are. So, to be here in such a beautiful atmosphere, so divine, so serene atmosphere, and to be in touch with one's own self. It always happens that during the course of seva, we are doing seva, but service sometimes makes us extrovert, and that extroversion snatches away our connection with oneself. To come back to that original nature of ours is what is returning back to oneself. It's a journey towards oneself. Journey from the outside to the inner core. And that's what makes us powerful. It is all in the mind, how you do it. Today we had a class at Abu Road. There is an old age home there, and all the BKs who are staying there. There's a beautiful garden at Abu Road, healing garden. I don't know how many of you have seen that. But there's a beautiful hut and a huge acre of land. Whilst coming up, the driver, the brother who was with me, he was sharing that every time he goes to Ahmedabad by driving, he gets tired. So he has to take rest. And next day then he comes back. He was sharing one of his experiences that he was told that you have to go and immediately come back. So he went and came back immediately. And this time he was not tired. Because he had mentally prepared his mind. I have to go and come back. So there was no signs of tiredness. So it's all in the mind. How we see things. It is the play of merging and emerging. If the memories are emerged, if the soul consciousness is emerged, we are so happy. The moment it is lost, you go down into oblivion, into forgetfulness, and then something of sorrow grips me suddenly. So it's all in the mind. So the greatest meditation is just to observe what is happening. Even while sitting here, just see the pattern, the deep sanskars, how the play is going on. And we must come to the conclusion that most of the time we live in past, which is nothing but memory, or in future, which is nothing but imagination. The present is lost. So the greatest meditation is to be in this moment, now, here and now. Whilst you are sitting here, you are only sitting. Whilst you are listening, you are only listening. You are all ears, focused. While you eat, you are only eating. While you walk, you are only walking. Moment to moment awareness. Spirituality is nothing but watchfulness. Spirituality is nothing but eternal vigilance. So when you lead your life in such a manner, you get that feeling of fullness within, a deep sense of contentment that I am in touch with myself. The moment I go away from myself, when I become extrovert and when I am talkative, even though I might be talking, even jnana, that makes me go away from myself. how fast I come back to myself at that point is what determines my stage. So this morning we heard in Murli so many beautiful things about royalty, about purity, about contentment. And now we are going to discuss something related to that. The boat is full. Its soul is boat, it is full. It has got so many meanings and connotations. I have the sense of fullness within me. So the first thing is, nothing extra can come inside me. I am occupied within. Occupied with what? With jnana. Occupied with purity. Occupied with peace. Occupied with happiness. Occupied with bliss. With powers. With love. Full of love. Heart love meditation. There is some group of people who teach heart love meditation. You feel as if you are a being of light, and here your heart is filled with golden light. The moment you come in contact with anyone, the golden light from this place goes out and fills the other soul with golden light. And it is the golden light of love. So every time you interact with others, there is an exchange of energy, and love is energy, the pure energy. So every time you interact with somebody, there is an exchange of unspoken, silent exchange of love energy. It is such a beautiful meditation. I am a being of light, and my heart is filled with divine golden light of love. The moment I come in contact, there is a flow of energy. So I am full within. So nothing extra can come inside. Full with powers, how can weakness come in me? Full of bliss, how can sorrow enter me? Full of knowledge, the light of knowledge, the divine knowledge. You know the best things about mountains and the places like Mount Abu. They are the best places for churning knowledge, for deep reflection. In last 12 years, I myself have spent hours together on the mountains, sitting, churning, thinking, being in touch with nature. The more you are in touch with nature, the more you are close to your own original nature. Listening to the chirping of the birds, watching the rising sun, the setting sun, the clouds, the different seasons here. Everything makes you so calm and so pacific within. So you feel your closeness. The boat is full means now nothing extraneous, nothing extra can be accommodated within. Because I am full here, no waste, no negative can enter, no vice can enter. In today's Murli Baba said, if you want to become Maya Jeet, conqueror of Maya, stay busy. So you are busy all the time, either churning Murli, either practicing soul consciousness, admiring nature, and experiencing bodilessness all the time, as if that divine flow is established within you. And then you are no more hungry, you are no more thirsty. You can spend hours together with that divine energy. So the first meaning of fullness, the boat is full, means I am full. I remember as a child, when I was 16 years old, I had no knowledge of any spirituality. I was a happy-go-merry boy leading his life, and suddenly I came across one book. And whilst reading that book, suddenly I became silent. And that silence was so deep that I did not speak with anyone for next 6 months. It was shocking for my family. What has happened to this boy? But as I was reading that book, The Story of My Experiment with Truth by M.K. Gandhi, I was so silent. I saw as if somewhere I am reflected there. That book is reflecting my life. The author is saying that I spoke untruth and I repented. I smoked and I repented. I felt as if I should also repent. And then sudden silence came upon me. And I stopped talking. But that silence of 6 months was the foundation of future spiritual life. I realized how much energy we unnecessarily use and spend in talking. You start getting divine touchings when you remain silent whole day, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, seventh day, continuous. Suddenly something happens. Some blockages, deep blockages, they start getting opened up. So that paved the way for future spiritual life. I tried again to have the same silence, but it was difficult. Just the same silence which was that time, uninterrupted. Then my exam results came, I got very good marks, but I was as if unaffected. I got admission in medical field, I was unaffected. Nothing was disturbing me, because that silence was so deep, and it took me a long time to come out of that silence. But that test of silence was unforgettable. It was very deep. Mahatma Gandhi even shared one of his experiences, that when he was in South Africa, he had gone to one monastery and he found that everybody is observing silence. He asked the head of the monastery, "What sort of ashram, monastery is this?" The head said, "Here, whosoever enters has to observe the principle of silence." He asked why it is so, and the answer was, "We as a human being are so weak creatures. We really do not know what to speak and what to speak. That's why it is the rule of this ashram, this monastery, that whosoever enters here has to observe silence. That's it." And it is really very, very deep. All experiences of spirituality come to you only in the stages of deeper silence. Recently I was at one place for about 20-21 days. And there was no mobile. Mobile was not allowed. No touch with the world. Total silence. You cannot even communicate with your eyes in that small place, and stay only within the campus and whole day meditation. I felt those 21 days were so powerful. What I did not get in last 10 years, I achieved in those just 20 days. Total digital detox. Very light diet of fruits once a day, and the whole day silence, and you cannot go anywhere out of the campus. and meditate. It was a very powerful experience. Nobody gave any speech. You cannot write, you cannot read, nothing. Just be with yourself. And that was recently, about 2-3 months back. It was a very, very powerful experience. The best retreat is silence retreat. So you become full. Now you don't need anything from outside. You are occupied within. So fullness. These experiences of fullness. And I learned a very important thing there. One chapter which was taught was that when you sit in meditation, why you get up? It is not the external work that makes you get up from meditation. It is the restlessness that makes you to get up from meditation. If that restlessness is taken away, you can sit in meditation for hours together. Buddha was with his disciple Anand, and one day Anand asked Buddha one important question. He said, I saw that when you sleep, if you are sleeping on this side, next day morning when I get up, I see you sleeping on the same side. Do not you turn, toss on the bed? Are you awake even during your sleep? And Buddha said, those who keep tossing on the bed are the ones who are restless. In me, there is no restlessness. So I just sit on one side, and when I wake up, I am on the same side. Because the mind has become so peaceful. So that you can sit for any length of time. The body becomes still. It is known as Adhishthan. The body is still. You just keep your hand like this and you are sitting. Now you don't move. And this becomes a habit. For hours together you can sit. This is also a practice of meditation, concentration. And see what happens. So the boat is full. I don't need anything from outside. The second thing is no desire. No desire for external things. No desire to get this and get that. A religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. It doesn't seek the ambitions of the world, the external things. It just wants to go within and explore deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The more you explore yourself, the more you understand yourself. It is the journey of self-discovery. You know, long back, one sister who is in Gyan from last 40 years, and she knows me quite well, and she asked me suddenly one question, tell me, who are you? And she said, don't give me that answer which I already know. Don't tell that you are soul or you are this and that. It was such a beautiful question. Who are you? It's a question to churn. And the answer is not I am soul. We are polypsychic personalities. In the morning we are different. In the afternoon we are different. In the evening we are somebody else. So many different forms. Do I really know myself? One American film actor has written his autobiography, and in that he says, throughout my life I have played so many roles. Now I am confused who I am. One of the British authors writes his story. He says, I went to the church, Mark Twain. He says, I went to the church and I was sitting there. And there was a lecture going on giving donation, the importance of almsgiving, and how you can help the poor. And he decided that, after the lecture, I will donate $500. And then the lecture was finished and the tray started moving. So when it came on the first row, he thought 500 is too much, 400 is enough. And when that moved on the second row, he thought even 400 is too much. The importance is of giving, it is not about the amount. So he thought, okay, 300. So in the next row, he thought it is 200. And then the same row where he was sitting, and he thought, even 200 is too much, I'll just give 100. And when that tray came just next to him, he thought 100 is too much, 50 is okay. And when that tray came in front of him, he looked here and there and took out some of the money from there and kept him with himself. While coming, he was thinking, what is this? Who I am? I am confused. In such a short time, the mind has played the games. So much confusing. So the best person to study is oneself. Am I full? If I am full, why do I desire this? Why do I want this? In today's Sakha, Avyakta Murli Baba said, aim, kill the foundation. Ravan has got so many heads. You kill one, another comes. You kill that, another comes. Aim at the foundation. Why this emptiness within? Why this vacuum within? If you really want to check that I don't have any vacuum, just do one experiment. Once you go back to your place, 3 days, 3 days, stay in one room, without mobile, without internet, without any digital facility. Don't move out from there. And see what happens. You will be a new person, a changed person, once you come out. So much restlessness will grip you. Why? There is a vacuum within. There is emptiness within. I have to understand why this vacuum is there. Why the boat is not full. There is some vacuum. I need a person. I need somebody to talk. I need to make a call. Why? Can't you sit in silence without talking with anybody? Can't you sit in silence without taking the help of any technology? Any digital instrument? Three monks arrived in Sri Lanka and they were in search of some place for meditation because it is already rainy season. And they luckily got one place, one farm. And they requested the farmer, can we meditate here for 3 months? The farmer said, yes, I will be very happy. So 3 months they did very good meditation in three separate rooms. After 3 months, they came together and started sharing with each other. The first said, what is your experience? The first said, my experience was very good. I did not allow my mind to go anywhere out of this campus. The second was asked, what was your experience? He said, my experience was very good. I did not allow my mind to go anywhere out of this room. My mind was only inside the room. The third was asked, what is your experience? He said, I did not allow my mind to go out of this body. I was just inside this body alone. I don't know what is there written on the walls. There was yet another monk who meditated in one cave for 30 years. And then one day some students came, some research students, to see and observe, and they saw the cave has got some old manuscript, some writing is there. And they started reading it. Oh, it's so beautiful. And they asked the monk, do you know so many things are written? The monk said, I am here since 30 years, but I have no time to read what is written on the wall. Because I am so much lost in meditation within. I have no idea of what is written outside. So you are within yourself. You don't know what's happening outside. That is the real journey of spirituality. You see everything, yet you don't see. You hear, yet you don't hear. That's what Baba said in today's Murli. You are with all, yet not with all. You are attached, at the same time detached. I have seen my own experiences while working in the hospital. Sometimes, in one time OPD, 50 patients, 60 patients, 70 patients, 100 patients. And in those patients, sometimes emergencies, ICU. And so much upheaval. One patient has got 10 relatives, all anxious. And if the patient is sick, serious, they have hundreds of questions to ask. But I have seen, I do all those, and the moment I come out, as if that is finished. As if something is calling from within, go within, and get lost within. There is a work to be done here. Earlier it was difficult, but now every day I find it easier and easier. Earlier it was very difficult to come out of the work field. Even physically when you are out, your mind is still there. I remember once I was sitting in meditation in Baba's hut in Pandapavan. From 2 o'clock, at 3 o'clock I received a message from the ICU. There is a new patient has come, a tourist, and the patient is breathless. So I told them, do this. But again after 5 minutes, a call came. That patient is very sick, very serious, and he needs ventilator and intubation. Please come. Because it is going to a very difficult intubation. And putting the patient on ventilator, patient is very fat, thick. So, I was like sitting in the meditation, an absolute bodiless state. But it was the call of duty. So I went, reached hospital, ICU, and the patient was really very sick. It was almost gasping, last breath. So immediately, all the procedure was done, patient was put on the ventilator, central line, this, that, everything was done. Within half an hour, all procedures were done. I came out, I talked with the relatives, I told them, patient is little better now. Had you been 10 minutes late, he would have died. So they said, okay, thank you and all. And I left. And I came back again in Pandapavan. I restarted my meditation. But all this half an hour, as if it was an emergency where you have to shout, where you have to tell people, do this, do that, do that. But I realized for the first time that everything I did in the stage of silence and my link of bodilessness yet was still there. I came back and I restarted my meditation. And then I forgot almost everything about what happened. And then after the Murli, everything done, and then I went for the round at 9 o'clock, 9:15. I had totally forgotten what had happened. But suddenly all the relatives came and said, oh, patient is so good, thank you and all. I went inside and saw patient was absolutely alert, on ventilator, but fully conscious. Later on, after a few days, he was discharged. So I came to a new conclusion that even in the toughest of the emergencies, where you have to speak, still you can remain silent within, undisturbed within. No matter what emergency comes, let 10 patients come, let whole mass casualty come. But the most important thing is the leader has to remain calm. If the leader is disturbed, everybody gets disturbed. So that was a new lesson, and every day is a new lesson. The boat is full. The third meaning is that no begging. No begging. You are no more a beggar. Otherwise, we are always in the begging mode. We don't beg for money or things, but we do beg for love, care, attention, appreciation, acknowledgement. If I do some good service, I want people to come and acknowledge or praise or something. If nobody does, I feel a little emptiness within. If I go somewhere, people should show their hospitality. All these things. You are no more dependent on all such things. You don't need anyone. You don't need anyone. No dependency. No physical dependency. No emotional dependency. No intellectual dependency. No financial dependency. No social dependency. No spiritual dependency. If somebody comes with me for Amrit Vela, then only it will happen. If somebody is accompanying me to Mount Abu Madhuban, then only I'll go. I am not dependent on anybody. I am all alone with Baba. Man, I don't need you. Woman, I don't need you. That's a very powerful statement. And if they are there and they're willing to help, it's fine. But if they are not there, still I am okay. The boat is full. No begging. I don't want your care, your attention, your appreciation, your acknowledgement, or any particular thing from you. Otherwise there is an ingrained habit of begging. I move my journey towards freedom, towards independence, more and more. The next, when the boat is full, it also has something to do with nutrition. When I am full, means I am full of life energy. My dependence on food decreases day by day. As I said, we are having a series in Pandavan from last 28 days on pranic living, on pranic consciousness. So in that series, we discuss multiple aspects of higher consciousness. How to lighten the diet, how to move on pranic nutrition, on pranic nourishment. And when you are in that journey of pranic consciousness, there is suddenly a pranic flow established in you, and you realize you no more hunger or thirst. Your thirst and hunger, your cravings you understand, and our addiction to food is the deepest addiction, even deeper than vices. And how the journey takes you towards freedom. And there are so many brotherians across the world, and they share their experience, this new community from last few decades, which is mushrooming up here and there. And how even non-spiritual people are adopting it, and in the journey they become spiritual. You understand how lightening the diet opens up new channels within you. How you move from vegetarian, non-vegetarian to vegetarian diet, and from vegetarian you move towards vegan, and from cooked vegan again you move towards raw vegan. And after staying in raw vegan, you move towards fruitarian, and you then start playing with liquids. And lot of fastings here and there. And then you understand, sudden flow has established. The appetite has disappeared. Your thoughts, your worry, your thinking, all the time about food is gone. Now you have so much time in hand to focus on other things, important things of life. Your energy has increased, your sleep has reduced. This is a new journey. Those who are interested, they can join this pranic journey. And I can tell you that from my own experiences, you will become very, very powerful. Without losing weight, with increased energy, and with half the sleep you have. These three things will happen. The moment you enter into pranic consciousness, we are surrounded by prana, and this prana is the deepest and the purest food. Your dependency on physical food will decrease. And that addiction of breakfast and lunch and dinner will go away. You can serve on lighter and lighter liquids. We are liquid beings. We don't need anything other than liquids. The more solid you put, the more body has to work so hard, and then you become sick, diseased, old age, and death, and degeneration. You move towards nature. You feed the food with highest vibrations to your body. And your body becomes divine. Your body becomes light, full of energy. And a new birth you have. Just as Brahmin is a new birth, Pranik is also a new birth during this BK journey. So it will be a new life, really. And it's a journey, as I said. It is not about eating this or eating that. It's not just about that. The more you two move towards nature and fill your body with prana, your dependency on all external things decreases. And when your food changes, your everything changes. When your food habits change, everything changes. Your deepest addictions, they start changing. And as I always say, the moment you change your food, your boyfriends and girlfriends will change. You habituate your body to stay in that, because fasting is a spiritual principle, observance. You can go without food and then come out. Go and come out so easily without losing weight. 24 hours, 36 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours. There's an international group of weekly fasting. Those who are interested can join. There's one brother in Israel. He is the admin of that group. And across the world, so many people share their experiences. And every week they invite one person for interview. Sometimes discussion on OMAD, one meal a day. Sometimes on fruitarian diet. Sometimes on 100% raw. Sometimes on liquids. And what is happening? What is the science and this and spirituality? Science and diet. It is not enough that we have stopped eating from outside. Because what we eat becomes the mind, becomes the emotion. So, when the boat is full, you don't feel hungry. You have realized what you are addicted to. All your addictions to cooked and processed goes away. When you survive on 100% diet, which is full of prana, you realize that you don't need any help of anything. Last 10 years, I have not taken a single drug. And I don't remember having fallen sick. Not even a sneeze. During the COVID times, it was so tough. I must have seen more than 1,000 patients. Or rather, all the patients of this district came in contact with me in some form or other. Because this was the main place. We were managing all the COVIDs, all the serious, the most critical COVIDs were managed here. And I came in contact with almost each one of them. But I myself never had any body ache, any fever, any cough, any cold. I don't know what is acidity and what is diarrhea and what is falling sick. And I don't remember having consumed a single drug from last 10 years. Even though in the OPD I sit and see 70, 80, 100 patients almost every day. But I remain free. And the secret is only one. You feed your body with the purest form of diet. And that is what is given by nature. As it is untouched by fire. Untouched by your condiments and your salt and other things. And keep on experimenting and see when you fast, what happens to your Amrit Vela. When you eat, what happens to your Amrit Vela. So the boat is full means I am full of prana. I don't have need, desire, craving, urges, pangs for outside things. That is also one of the meanings. So it's a journey of abundance. It is the journey of fullness. It is the journey of richness. It is a journey of contentment. It is a journey of purity. It is a journey of royalty, as Baba said in today's Murli. A royal soul, his drishti, his vritti, his actions, everything is divine. Everything is filled with purity. Rather, the foundation of royalty is purity. You are pure even whilst you are in soul world or golden age or in the confluence age. Your dependency reduces. So it's a journey of fullness. So make yourself fuller and fuller and fuller, so that outside dependency goes away. And every day is a new day. Every day is a new joy. Every day is a new enthusiasm. Because you are full of so much energy. What to do with this energy? Actually, we are already beings of energy. We have created so many blockages within us. The goal is not to get something from outside, but the goal is to remove the blockages. The focus is not on putting something inside. The focus is more on removing many things from inside. They are creating blockages. And the more the body is clean, the mind becomes clean. The more the stomach is pure, the mind becomes pure. Our guts are known as second brains. So clean these guts, this intestine, with all those undigested material there. And the mind will become clear of undigested thoughts and emotions. So today is International Meditation. For next 1 hour, sit in deep silence, and as far as possible, you can do an experiment of sitting without moving the body. When the body is still, soul is reflected very clearly. And the more this practice increases, you will have deeper and deeper experiences. Okay, Om Shanti.